It's all you ever wanted to know on The Rock 98.5. I'm Jordan Patzold, and today's show consists of a previously recorded conversation from a few years ago that David Disty and myself had with Dr. Rob Reamer, who runs Soul Care Conferences, and one will be happening in Yorkton, May 18th, 19th, and 20th. And want more details? Eventbrite.ca and look up Soul Care Conference in Yorkton, and you'll find out more about what you need to know to get registered to be a part of what takes place.
So yeah, we've been talking about deliverance and what that means, what it looks like in the Bible and what it might look like in our context now as well, and kind of the historical roots of deliverance. But in our cultural context, we've seen a lot about demons and deliverance, and there's all sorts of movies about these subjects out there, which really do taint our view of what this really looks like. So Rob, I'm wondering if you can kind of run us through what deliverance actually is like.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of different methodologies, David, and, you know, some people use what I would call more of a power methodology. And with a power methodology, sometimes they only really do deliverance if the demon manifests. So there's a voice that comes out of someone that's not human and, you know, sometimes not even in English, and then they see this thing and they realize, you know, if you're there and you've ever seen it happen, which I have been, you know, that you, it's pretty obvious this isn't human. This thing's demonic. And so then they go after it. But in my case, I really try to minimize the manifestations. I try to do it in a pastoral way because I don't want people to be embarrassed or shamed or in any way make this a traumatic experience. So what I do is I simply have the spirit speak to the person, and then I have the person report what they're either seeing, because sometimes they'll give images, or hearing. Mostly those are thoughts that are entering your mind as I'm asking what they feel, because sometimes spirits will give them either physical or emotional sensations that are actually important pieces of information. And so then, you know, I mean, the person is pretty well in control of their faculties. They may have some low-level manifestations. That's pretty typical. Again, the most common would be anxiety. That almost is impossible to completely eliminate. Once in a while, the person, you know, and this is why I have them report whatever they see or hear or feel, because sometimes I won't be able to tell, like they're feeling sick all of a sudden, like nauseous, because the demon's making them nauseous. I can command that to stop, right, so the person doesn't throw up. Sometimes they're feeling sharp shooting pain in their body. They weren't before, but now the demon is creating some discomfort. They tell me that, I can command that stuff to stop. Sometimes it actually gags them, you know, and it's like the person feels like someone's got a hand wrapped around their throat and is choking them. Again, if they just make a gesture, even if they can't speak at that point, they can just move their hand towards their throat, I can immediately command that to stop. So I try to really minimize those kinds of manifestations that are harmful, embarrassing, shaming, traumatic, and it's pretty calm. But the life change, pretty significant for lots and lots of people who go through deliverance.
Mm-hmm. So if people are thinking about deliverance, they don't need to think, well, this is going to be terrifying, like in one of the movies that I've seen or something. It's nothing like that. This is calm and, like I said, pastoral. It's a healing situation, not a terrifying one.
Yeah, I'm pretty careful to make it very pastoral and honorable and gentle. And, yeah, no Linda Blair head spinning around stuff, David.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and we've talked a little bit about the difference between mental health and deliverance. So I'm wondering if you can kind of explore that a little bit more. How do we know the difference between something that might have a demonic root and something that, like you said, you can't cast out human?
Yeah. So this is really where you have to discern between soul and spirit. And the soul stuff is all the human components. So the soul stuff could be about wounding, for example, and now you're left with tremendous fear. But it's not a demonic presence that's making you afraid. You're just afraid. And it's just you. You have fear because of the background that you went through, the things that happened to you in your growing up years, etc. And now you have this core of fear in your inner being. You know what? It may feel incredibly overwhelming, and even at times, like it's out of control. It's got to be demonic. No, it may just be human. And so I can't, as I said before, cast out human. You can't. That has to be dealt with on a human level. But, again, if it is demonic, you can't medicate or counsel demons. So what you have to do is discern. So one of the areas where you have to discern isn't just, you know, sort of wounding, brokenness, sin patterns, thinking patterns, stuff like that. You actually have to discern sometimes if this is mental illness, if there is something here that's, you know, in the category of mental illness. Here's the problem, David, and this really is the difficulty. First, it's super hard to discern sometimes. It's complex. Second, it's, you know, it's a lot of times not either or. It's both and. So I'll give you an example. I was doing a deliverance one time. I was actually teaching a class, and this person came to the class who was not in the class. They showed up on deliverance day because a friend invited them, right? So they show up, and they manifest in the room, like, you know, pretty loud screeching. You know, it sounds like the screeches of hell. I mean, it's bone rattling, hair stand up kind of screech, right? So I go over and I shut it down, which means I just commanded it to stop in Jesus' name. And I looked at her, and immediately, and this is just the Holy Spirit giving me wisdom and revelation in the moment, I knew there was something here that was real and demonic, but I also knew there was a human component to it. And I looked at her and I said to her, okay, what's your name? She tells me her name because I'd never met her. And I said, okay, I said, I'm going to ask you a few questions. I need to know a little about your story. And it turned out that she was having paranoid, delusional episodes where she would see things that weren't there. Okay. Now, her story was, as a little kid, she had been kidnapped. And they never dealt with it. Like, they'd never brought her to, she was overseas when it happened. They didn't get her the psychiatric care that she needed. It was kind of never discussed. It was never really dealt with in a way that allowed her to process and get through it. So all her life, she struggles with these paranoid, delusional episodes of hallucinations of people in a room with guns, all this stuff around her. That part was actually human. That was not demonic. Now, I ended up casting out, you know, several demonic spirits that were present. It was a clear difference when we were done. But the vision part, those hallucinations, didn't stop. That's because it was human. And I said to her, I said, you're going to need a really good therapist to deal with this. Probably a counselor doesn't have enough skills to deal with this. You're going to need somebody that's a clinical psychologist or a psychiatrist that's going to be able to help you to navigate through this. Another time, you know, I had somebody come in, multiple personalities, to one of the conferences that I was doing. And this has happened multiple times. But in this one particular case, there were seven personalities. Six of them were demonic. They show up. In this case, all of them came forth with a voice. So, you know, they did manifest with a voice, and that was not human. And I kicked all six of those personalities out, and then a seventh personality emerged, but it wasn't demonic. It was a little kid, and the personality was this woman's way of coping with her trauma. She'd had a very, very difficult, abusive, traumatic past. And she hived off this personality to cope with all of her trauma. And she was there with her psychiatrist. And I looked at the psychiatrist and I just said to the psychiatrist, this one's on you. This one's not demonic. I can't cast out human. And I said, so you're going to have to tackle this. So some of these things, it's not either or, it's both and. It gets really complex. You need a ton of humility. You need some good resource people around you. You need some real wisdom from the Holy Spirit, because they get really, really difficult. They're not simplistic. They're complex.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate these stories. It reminds me a lot of the deliverance that I went through as well. Like before then, I struggled with a particular addiction for decades. And then I had periods of success in dealing with it, but I kept on falling back. And but after the deliverance, it was gone. Like the temptation still comes back, but it's so easy to deal with now. And so that's like the demonic roots. But then there's the other piece too. There's anger and anxiety that have been a big part of my life. And so I went through deliverance and that changed to a big degree, but then there are still roots there. And so I've been going through, found a really good counselor. Like you said, find someone who is really skilled. And we've been working through some of that stuff. And so keeping on working on it is really important, that there's some issues that are either or, like you said, and some that are both and.
Yeah, and it's very common, David. And the bottom line is, you know, we too often, religious people, simplify things into either or, black or white categories. That is a very significant characteristic of religious people. They want to keep things black and white, either or, simplistic. We don't live in a simplistic world. Mm-hmm. The human being is a complex being, and the reality is some of this stuff is not easy, man. And, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, when I first started this stuff, David, I didn't have a framework for a lot of psychological stuff, you know, so I wouldn't have considered, for example, a lot of mental illness to be real. Let me give you an example, or even just defense mechanisms, things like, for example, a repressed memory. I probably would have looked at that, I don't know if that stuff's real, right? But now I've seen it. I know it's real. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to me now because I've done so much work with the soul. Often it somebody has something happen to them when they're really young. They do not have the emotional strength or wherewithal to be able to process this incredibly traumatic event. And then they just lock it in the basement of their soul and tuck it away and literally have no recall of it whatsoever. I mean, it was not like they're just not thinking about it. And there is another category called dissociative memories. Those are more memories that I know. I know they're there. I know there are things that have happened, but I don't go in that room. I just shut that door. It's on the first floor of the house, but I don't go in that room. We know it's there. We compartmentalize this stuff because it's too painful to go after. And, you know, I just didn't have wherewithal for this stuff. I didn't know how to deal with this stuff. And so over time, you know, you start to get a little more wisdom and you get a little more humility and you stop thinking you understand the world in simplistic categories.
Hey, Rob, can you talk a little bit about secrets and the power that they can have for demonic presences in someone's life?
Yeah, so two ways to that, right? So first, sometimes there are own secrets. And, you know, think about the New Testament imagery about the kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness. And in 1 John 1, you know, the Apostle John says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all our sin. And so, you know, there's this concept of God shines light into the suitcase of our soul. Hear me, he never shines light into our hearts, our souls, to make us feel bad. He shines light to get us free. Light is a gift. It's not an intruder. But for a lot of us, we learned to view the light as a dangerous thing. And it made us, you know, we lived in context, whether family of origin context or church context, where you were shamed if you did certain things. So you just learned, we don't talk about this stuff. And you pretended like you did not do that stuff. And in the dark, you're wrestling with all these dark thoughts, dark acts, you know, whether they're sexual or something else that you just scared and shamed to bring into the light. And so you start accumulating secrets. The problem with secrets, first, is a soulish problem. Okay? Anybody who carries secrets carries shame. It's an inviolable principle of the soul. You can't have secrets without shame. That's the nature of darkness. It produces shame. And so Satan, of course, he sits on our lap and goes, you can't tell anybody. You tell anybody this, they're never going to accept you. They won't love you. You've got to hide this. And so we feel nauseous even. We feel really anxious and upset about possibly revealing the secrets of our soul. But that's the enemy. He is trying to get us in bondage. Now, there are times that those secrets can become more than just a soulish issue, more than just the enemy having some stronghold in our life like shame, but they can actually become a demonic foothold. And they need to be brought into the light in order to break them and the demons to be cast down. So that's the first type of secret, which is really about your own secrets. But the second type is family secrets. And the reality with family secrets is sometimes families don't tell the truth to each other. Let's put it a little stronger. Often families don't tell the truth to each other. And as a result, there's these family secrets. These things happen in our families. We never talk about them. And now they've become a demonic stronghold in our family. But nobody ever discusses this stuff. So I'll give you an example. I had a doctoral student one day and a couple years ago. I was doing a class. I was teaching through Soul Care. I did a group test, which is 1 John chapter 4 tells us to test for demonic spirits. So I did a test to see if there's any demonic spirits in the people in the class. I end up doing deliverance on several of the people in the class. And then this one guy comes up to me after I'm done with all of the deliverances, and he says, would you do an individual test with me, one-on-one? And I said, sure, tell me why. And he said to me, I just want to make sure I'm clean. So I go just to start the test with him, which is really just a series of biblical questions, like, is Jesus Christ the Lord? Is Jesus Christ your Lord Spirit? I'm not asking the person, I'm asking the Spirit to report to the person. And so anyways, I'm about ready to go into this test, and all of a sudden, again, the Holy Spirit gives me supernatural wisdom, and I know his, but I looked at him and I said to him, I said, blocking spirit, which all sexual abuse spirits have these things called blocking spirits. Their sole function is to really keep the sexual abuse spirit from coming forth, from being found out and being cast out. And so I put my hand on his chest and said, blocking spirit, come forth. As soon as I said it, his tongue doubled in size. And he's mute. I mean, he can't talk. I've never seen a manifestation like that. That is the only time I've ever seen that. And I looked at him and I said, your mother was sexually abused. Are you aware of this? He shook his head no. And I said, I'm going to cast these things out, but I'm pretty sure that's what this is. That's what I'm getting. And I said, when I'm done, I said, you know, we'll we'll talk, because he couldn't talk while that was there. And I said, you know, I finished, cast him out, sure enough. I said to him, I need you to go home and check with your mom. And so he did within the next week. And his mom had been sexually abused, and she had never told anyone. But that's not uncommon. You know, a lot of times your abuser will say, you can't tell anybody. If you tell anybody, I'm going to hurt your family, etc. And they make all these threats. And so the person keeps it in the darkness. But there's never any healing in darkness. There is only healing and freedom in the light.
So shame and secrecy are a feedback loop. They just keep on feeding on each other and getting worse and worse until we break that loop by allowing ourselves to be in the light, to bringing everything into the light.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that people always struggle with, David, is, you know, they got to differentiate between our part and God's part, right? What's my part in the journey towards wholeness? What's God's part? One of the key things with my part, if I can sum it up, I'll give you just two big things that are my part. One, I need to be honest. And, you know, I always say this phrase, really, our part ultimately is to humble ourselves. That's really the one phrase. But I'm going to give you two parts to authentic humility. Humility begins with honesty, ruthless, brutal honesty, no secrets. It begins with honesty. We bring everything into the light. And it ends with responsibility. Those are the two key words to humility, honesty and responsibility. So then I take responsibility. When I take responsibility, I don't blame, I don't excuse, I don't justify. I don't rationalize. I don't deny. I don't hide. I bring everything into the light, and I take responsibility. I own my part. God's part, then, is to bring healing. I can't heal, but I can bring myself to God with honest responsibility, and God can bring healing. Being responsible, I do what I need to do to get into God's presence. So I do spiritual activities, prayer, Bible reading, going to church, fasting, etc. And I do my part. I'm responsible for my part. And God does his part. God shows up. God does healing. God brings freedom. God brings power for victory. That's God's part. But, you know, so many of the promises of the scripture are if then. If you do this, then I'll do that, God says all the time. And we eliminate the if then, and we just make it God's going to do his part, and our faith becomes way too passive. And there's no such thing as passive faith in real biblical understanding. Faith has to be active. It cannot be passive. And that means we need to be humble. It means we need to be honest and responsible. That's our part.
And so I totally recommend people look into your book, Deep Faith. Dive into that a lot more. But if people are thinking, as they've been listening to us talking about deliverance, if they're thinking, you know what, I need to look into this more, how do you recommend people look into or explore deliverance as something for themselves?
Yeah, so first, there are local churches out there that do practice deliverance. For me personally, I would want them to practice a model of deliverance where they name spirits by name and they command them to leave, but they address the spirit and make sure there's no ground or access points. You know, that's a legal right for the spirit to stay. So the methodology kind of matters. If you read my book, Soul Care, there's a clear methodology at the end of the book. You know, listen, I've done well over 10,000 deliverances. I've done them on every single continent on the planet except for Antarctica. I've done them cross-culturally. Here's the bottom line. This methodology that I teach works around the world cross-culturally. It's proven thousand upon thousand upon thousand upon thousands of times and has been reproducible. That is, I have trained and equipped literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to do this around the planet. And so at the end of the day, it is a reproducible, transferable, cross-cultural deliverance methodology. So read that. Find a church that does one. That's one. Two, if you really can't find a church, you can come to a Soul Care conference.
And yes, very exciting that in Yorkton we'll have one of those Soul Care conferences May 18th, 19th, and 20th. Yorkton Alliance Church. You can get tickets and register by visiting eventbrite.ca.
You know, listen, this is something Jesus did, right? First of all. Second of all, Jesus commands the disciples to do this. Matthew chapter 10, he gave them authority to drive out demons. Then, in Matthew chapter 28, end of the book, he says, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you, which includes deliverance. So I would argue churches not involved in deliverance ministry are in disobedience. This is a necessary ministry. Jesus wasn't a country bumpkin who could not discern between a psychological problem and a spiritual problem that required deliverance for a person to get free. He understood and he knew that this was a necessary component for people's freedom. Therefore, I think this has to be part of local church. So if your local church is not doing that, then what I would recommend, and I've recommended this to lots and lots of people, to get a copy of Soul Care, read it yourself, then, you know, bring a copy to your pastor. Have your pastor, your elders, your leadership team, whoever's your leadership representation, have them read it. Dialogue about it and ask them if they'd be willing to start a deliverance ministry. We do deliverance training workshops, which we also do live stream, where we equip people how to do the ministry of deliverance, pass on lots of tools of the trade and so forth. And, you know, there's help available out there, and I'm not the only guy doing it. There's other people out there that are also training and equipping people in this vital ministry of Jesus. There are people out there that are living an incredible bondage because they need a deliverance. And it is cosmic treason for the church to possess the keys of the kingdom and not to utilize them to set the captives free. So this is a pretty vital ministry. And if you're looking to learn more about developing spiritual authority and expanding some of this stuff, another great resource is my book, Spiritual Authority. I cover a lot of this kind of stuff in there that can be helpful as well. So.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Rob, for joining us today and sharing your experience and what you've learned, your wisdom on the subject of freedom.
Glad to do it, David. Good to be with you.
So you're invited once again to be part of the Soul Care Conference with Dr. Rob Reamer, who is coming to Yorkton, the Yorkton Alliance Church, May 18th, 19th, and 20th. The Soul Care Conference registration is open at eventbrite.ca. Just look up Soul Care Conference with Dr. Rob Reamer, or even just simply Soul Care Conference Yorkton. That should bring it up as well. That is our program for today. It's all you ever wanted to know. And on the last Friday of the month, Heart to Heart with David Distey. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed. It's all you ever wanted to know on The Rock 98.5. I'm Jordan Patswold, and today's show consists of a previously recorded conversation from a few years ago that David Distey and myself had with Dr. Rob Reamer, who runs Soul Care Conferences, and one will be happening in Yorkton, May 18th, 19th, and 20th. And want more details? Eventbrite.ca and look up Soul Care Conference in Yorkton, and you'll find out more about what you need to know to get registered to be a part of what takes place.
So yeah, we've been talking about deliverance and what that means, what it looks like in the Bible and what it might look like in our context now as well, and kind of the historical roots of deliverance. But in our cultural context, we've seen a lot about demons and deliverance, and there's all sorts of movies about these subjects out there, which really do taint our view of what this really looks like. So Rob, I'm wondering if you can kind of run us through what deliverance actually is like.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of different methodologies, David, and, you know, some people use what I would call more of a power methodology. And with a power methodology, sometimes they only really do deliverance if the demon manifests. So there's a voice that comes out of someone that's not human and, you know, sometimes not even in English, and then they see this thing and they realize, you know, if you're there and you've ever seen it happen, which I have been, you know, that you, it's pretty obvious this isn't human. This thing's demonic. And so then they go after it. But in my case, I really try to minimalize the manifestations. I try to do it in a pastoral way because I don't want people to be embarrassed or shamed or in any way make this a traumatic experience. So what I do is I simply have the spirit speak to the person, and then I have the person report what they're either seeing, because sometimes they'll give images, or hearing. Mostly those are thoughts that are entering your mind as I'm asking what they feel, because sometimes spirits will give them either physical or emotional sensations that are actually important pieces of information. And so then, you know, I mean, the person is pretty well in control of their faculties. They may have some low-level manifestations. That's pretty typical. Again, the most common would be anxiety. That almost is impossible to completely eliminate. Once in a while, the person, you know, and this is why I have them report whatever they see or hear or feel, because sometimes I won't be able to tell, like they're feeling sick all of a sudden, like nauseous, because the demon's making them nauseous. I can command that to stop, right, so the person doesn't throw up. Sometimes they're feeling sharp shooting pain in their body. They weren't before, but now the demon is creating some discomfort. They tell me that, I can command that stuff to stop. Sometimes it actually gags them, you know, and it's like the person feels like someone's got a hand wrapped around their throat and is choking them. Again, if they just make a gesture, even if they can't speak at that point, they can just move their hand towards their throat, I can immediately command that to stop. So I try to really minimize those kinds of manifestations that are harmful, embarrassing, shaming, traumatic, and it's pretty calm. But the life change, pretty significant for lots and lots of people who go through deliverance.
Mm-hmm. So if people are thinking about deliverance, they don't need to think, well, this is going to be terrifying, like in one of the movies that I've seen or something. It's nothing like that. This is calm and, like I said, pastoral. It's a healing situation, not a terrifying one.
Yeah, I'm pretty careful to make it very pastoral and honorable and gentle. And, yeah, no Linda Blair head spinning around stuff, David.
Absolutely. And we've talked a little bit about the difference between mental health and deliverance. So I'm wondering if you can kind of explore that a little bit more. How do we know the difference between something that might have a demonic root and something that, like you said, you can't cast out human?
Yeah. So this is really where you have to discern between soul and spirit. And the soul stuff is all the human components. So the soul stuff could be about wounding, for example, and now you're left with tremendous fear. But it's not a demonic presence that's making you afraid. You're just afraid. And it's just you. You have fear because of the background that you went through, the things that happened to you in your growing up years, etc. And now you have this core of fear in your inner being. You know what? It may feel incredibly overwhelming, and even at times, like it's out of control. It's got to be demonic. No, it may just be human. And so I can't, as I said before, cast out human. You can't. That has to be dealt with on a human level. But, again, if it is demonic, you can't medicate or counsel demons. So what you have to do is discern. So one of the areas where you have to discern isn't just, you know, sort of wounding, brokenness, sin patterns, thinking patterns, stuff like that. You actually have to discern sometimes if this is mental illness, if there is something here that's, you know, in the category of mental illness. Here's the problem, David, and this really is the difficulty. First, it's super hard to discern sometimes. It's complex. Second, it's a lot of times not either or. It's both and. So I'll give you an example. I was doing a deliverance one time. I was actually teaching a class, and this person came to the class who was not in the class. They showed up on Deliverance Day because a friend invited them, right? So they show up, and they manifest in the room, like, you know, pretty loud screeching. You know, it sounds like the screeches of hell. I mean, it's bone rattling, hair stand up kind of screech, right? So I go over and I shut it down, which means I just commanded it to stop in Jesus' name. And I looked at her, and immediately, and this is just the Holy Spirit giving me wisdom and revelation in the moment, I knew there was something here that was real and demonic, but I also knew there was a human component to it. And I looked at her and I said to her, okay, what's your name? She tells me her name because I'd never met her. And I said, okay. I said, I'm going to ask you a few questions. I need to know a little about your story. And it turned out that she was having paranoid, delusional episodes where she would see things that weren't there. Okay. Now, her story was, as a little kid, she had been kidnapped. And they never dealt with it. Like, they never brought her to, she was overseas when it happened. They didn't get her the psychiatric care that she needed. It was kind of never discussed. It was never really dealt with in a way that allowed her to process and get through it. So all her life, she struggles with these paranoid, delusional episodes of hallucinations of people in a room with guns, all this stuff around her. That part was actually human. That was not demonic. Now, I ended up casting out, you know, several demonic spirits that were present. It was a clear difference when we were done. But the vision part, those hallucinations, didn't stop. That's because it was human. And I said to her, I said, you're going to need a really good therapist to deal with this. Probably a counselor doesn't have enough skills to deal with this. You're going to need somebody that's a clinical psychologist or a psychiatrist that's going to be able to help you to navigate through this. Another time, you know, I had somebody come in, multiple personalities, to one of the conferences that I was doing. And this has happened multiple times. But in this one particular case, there were seven personalities. Six of them were demonic. They show up. In this case, all of them came forth with a voice. So, you know, they did manifest with a voice and that was not human. And I kicked all six of those personalities out. And then a seventh personality emerged, but it wasn't demonic. It was a little kid, and the personality was this woman's way of coping with her trauma. She'd had a very, very difficult, abusive, traumatic past, and she hived off this personality to cope with all of her trauma. And she was there with her psychiatrist. And I looked at the psychiatrist, and I just said to the psychiatrist, this one's on you. This one's not demonic. I can't cast out human. And I said, so you're going to have to tackle this. So some of these things, it's not either or. It's both and. It gets really complex. You need a ton of humility. You need some good resource people around you. You need some real wisdom from the Holy Spirit, because they get really, really difficult. They're not simplistic. They're complex.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate these stories. It reminds me a lot of the deliverance that I went through as well. Like before then, I struggled with a particular addiction for decades. And then I had periods of success in dealing with it, but I kept on falling back. And but after the deliverance, it was gone. Like, the temptation still comes back, but it's so easy to deal with now. And so that's like the demonic roots. But then there's the other piece, too. There's anger and anxiety that have been a big part of my life. And so I went through deliverance, and that changed to a big degree. But then there are still roots there. And so I've been going through, found a really good counselor, like you said, find someone who is really skilled. And we've been working through some of that stuff. And so keeping on working on it is really important, that there's some issues that are either or, like you said, and some that are both and.
Yeah, and it's very common, David. And the bottom line is, you know, we too often, religious people, simplify things into either or, black or white categories. That is a very significant characteristic of religious people. They want to keep things black and white, either or, simplistic. We don't live in a simplistic world. Mm-hmm. The human being is a complex being, and the reality is some of this stuff is not easy, man. And, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, when I first started this stuff, David, I didn't have a framework for a lot of psychological stuff, you know, so I wouldn't have considered, for example, a lot of mental illness to be real. Let me give you an example, or even just defense mechanisms, things like, for example, a repressed memory. I probably would have looked at that, I don't know if that stuff's real, right? But now I've seen it. I know it's real. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to me now, because I've done so much work with the soul. Often it somebody has something happen to them when they're really young. They do not have the emotional strength or wherewithal to be able to process this incredibly traumatic event. And then they just lock it in the basement of their soul and tuck it away and literally have no recall of it whatsoever. I mean, it was not like they're just not thinking about it. And there is another category called disassociative memories. Those are more memories that I know. I know they're there. I know there are things that have happened, but I don't go in that room. I just shut that door. It's on the first floor of the house, but I don't go in that room. We know it's there. We compartmentalize this stuff because it's too painful to go after. And, you know, I just didn't have wherewithal for this stuff. I didn't know how to deal with this stuff. And so over time, you know, you start to get a little more wisdom and you get a little more humility and you stop thinking you understand the world in simplistic categories.
Hey, Rob, can you talk a little bit about secrets and the power that they can have for demonic presences in someone's life?
Yeah, so two ways to that, right? So first, sometimes there are own secrets. And, you know, think about the New Testament imagery about the kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness. And in 1 John 1, you know, the Apostle John says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all our sin. And so, you know, there's this concept of God shines light into the suitcase of our soul. Hear me, he never shines light into our hearts, our souls, to make us feel bad. He shines light to get us free. Light is a gift, it's not an intruder. But for a lot of us, we learned to view the light as a dangerous thing. And it made us, you know, we lived in context, whether family of origin context or church context, where you were shamed if you did certain things. So you just learned, we don't talk about this stuff. And you pretended like you did not do that stuff. And in the dark, you're wrestling with all these dark thoughts, dark acts, you know, whether they're sexual or something else that you just scared and shamed to bring into the light. And so you start accumulating secrets. The problem with secrets, first, is a soulish problem, okay? Anybody who carries secrets carries shame. It's an inviolable principle of the soul. You can't have secrets without shame. That's the nature of darkness. It produces shame. And so Satan, of course, he sits on our lap and goes, you can't tell anybody. You tell anybody this, they're never going to accept you. They won't love you. You've got to hide this. And so we feel nauseous even. We feel really anxious and upset about possibly revealing the secrets of our soul. But that's the enemy. He is trying to get us in bondage. Now, there are times that those secrets can become more than just a soulish issue, more than just the enemy having some stronghold in our life like shame, but they can actually become a demonic foothold. And they need to be brought into the light in order to break them and the demons to be cast down. So that's the first type of secret, which is really about your own secrets. But the second type is family secrets. And the reality with family secrets is sometimes families don't tell the truth to each other. Let's put it a little stronger. Often families don't tell the truth to each other. And as a result, there's these family secrets. These things happen in our families. We never talk about them. And now they've become a demonic stronghold in our family. But nobody ever discusses this stuff. So I'll give you an example. I had a doctoral student one day and a couple of years ago. I was doing a class. I was teaching through Soul Care. I did a group test, which is 1 John chapter 4 tells us to test for demonic spirits. So I did a test to see if there's any demonic spirits in the people in the class. I end up doing deliverance on several of the people in the class. And then this one guy comes up to me after I'm done with all of the deliverances. And he says, would you do an individual test with me, one-on-one? And I said, sure, tell me why. And he said to me, I just want to make sure I'm clean. So I go just to start the test with him, which is really just a series of biblical questions. Like, is Jesus Christ the Lord? Is Jesus Christ your Lord Spirit? I'm not asking the person. I'm asking the Spirit to report to the person. And so, anyways, I'm about ready to go into this test. And all of a sudden, again, the Holy Spirit gives me supernatural wisdom. And I know his... but I looked at him and I said to him, I said, blocking spirit... which all sexual abuse spirits have these things called blocking spirits. Their sole function is to really keep the sexual abuse spirit from coming forth, from being found out and being cast out. And so I put my hand on his chest and said, blocking spirit, come forth. As soon as I said it, his tongue doubled in size. And he's mute. I mean, he can't talk. I've never seen a manifestation like that. That is the only time I've ever seen that. And I looked at him and I said, your mother was sexually abused. Are you aware of this? He shook his head no. And I said, I'm going to cast these things out, but I'm pretty sure that's what this is. That's what I'm getting. And I said, when I'm done, I said, you know, we'll we'll talk, because he couldn't talk while that was there. And I said, you know, I finished, cast him out. Sure enough, I said to him, I need you to go home and check with your mom. And so he did within the next week. And his mom had been sexually abused, and she had never told anyone. But that's not uncommon. You know, a lot of times your abuser will say, you can't tell anybody. If you tell anybody, I'm going to hurt your family, etc. And they make all these threats. And so the person keeps it in the darkness. But there's never any healing in darkness. There is only healing and freedom in the light.
So shame and secrecy are a feedback loop. They just keep on feeding on each other and getting worse and worse until we break that loop, by allowing ourselves to be in the light, to bringing everything into the light.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that people always struggle with, David, is, you know, they got to differentiate between our part and God's part, right? What's my part in the journey towards wholeness? What's God's part? One of the key things with my part, if I can sum it up, I'll give you just two big things that are my part. One, I need to be honest. And, you know, I always say this phrase, really, our part ultimately is to humble ourselves. That's really the one phrase. But I'm going to give you two parts to authentic humility. Humility begins with honesty, ruthless, brutal honesty, no secrets. It begins with honesty. We bring everything into the light. And it ends with responsibility. Those are the two key words to humility, honesty and responsibility. So then I take responsibility. When I take responsibility, I don't blame, I don't excuse, I don't justify, I don't rationalize, I don't deny, I don't hide. I bring everything into the light and I take responsibility. I own my part. God's part then is to bring healing. I can't heal. But I can bring myself to God with honest responsibility, and God can bring healing. Being responsible, I do what I need to do to get into God's presence. So I do spiritual activities, prayer, Bible reading, going to church, fasting, etc. And I do my part. I'm responsible for my part. And God does his part. God shows up. God does healing. God brings freedom. God brings power for victory. That's God's part. But, you know, so many of the promises of the scripture are if then. If you do this, then I'll do that, God says all the time. And we eliminate the if then and we just make it God's going to do his part, and our faith becomes way too passive. And there's no such thing as passive faith in real biblical understanding. Faith has to be active. It cannot be passive. And that means we need to be humble. It means we need to be honest. And responsible. That's our part.
And so I totally recommend people look into your book, Deep Faith. Dive into that a lot more. But if people are thinking, as they've been listening to us talking about deliverance, if they're thinking, you know what, I need to look into this more, how do you recommend people look into or explore deliverance as something for themselves?
Yeah, so first, there are local churches out there that do practice deliverance. For me personally, I would want them to practice a model of deliverance where they name spirits by name and they command them to leave, but they address the spirit and make sure there's no ground or access points. You know, that's a legal right for the spirit to stay. So the methodology kind of matters. If you read my book, Soul Care, there's a clear methodology at the end of the book. You know, listen, I've done well over 10,000 deliverances. I've done them on every single continent on the planet except for Antarctica. I've done them cross-culturally. Here's the bottom line. This methodology that I teach works around the world cross-culturally. It's proven thousand upon thousand upon thousand upon thousands of times and has been reproducible. That is, I have trained and equipped literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to do this around the planet. And so at the end of the day, it is a reproducible, transferable, cross-cultural deliverance methodology. So read that. Find a church that does one. That's one. Two, if you really can't find a church, you can come to a Soul Care conference.
And yes, very exciting that in Yorkton we'll have one of those Soul Care conferences, May 18th, 19th, and 20th. Yorkton Alliance Church, you can get tickets and register by visiting eventbrite.ca.
You know, listen, this is something Jesus did, right? First of all. Second of all, Jesus commands the disciples to do this. Matthew chapter 10, he gave them authority to drive out demons. Then, in Matthew chapter 28, end of the book, he says, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you, which includes deliverance. So I would argue churches not involved in deliverance ministry are in disobedience. This is a necessary ministry. Jesus wasn't a country bumpkin who could not discern between a psychological problem and a spiritual problem that required deliverance for a person to get free. He understood and he knew that this was a necessary component for people's freedom. Therefore, I think this has to be part of local church. So if your local church is not doing that, then what I would recommend, and I've recommended this to lots and lots of people, to get a copy of Soul Care, read it yourself, then, you know, bring a copy to your pastor. Have your pastor, your elders, your leadership team, whoever's your leadership representation, have them read it, dialogue about it, and ask them if they'd be willing to start a deliverance ministry. We do deliverance training workshops, which we also do live stream, where we equip people how to do the ministry of deliverance, pass on lots of tools of the trade and so forth. And, you know, there's help available out there. And I'm not the only guy doing it. There's other people out there that are also training and equipping people in this vital ministry of Jesus. There are people out there that are living in incredible bondage because they need a deliverance. And it is cosmic treason for the church to possess the keys of the kingdom and not to utilize them to set the captives free. So this is a pretty vital ministry. And if you're looking to learn more about developing spiritual authority and expanding some of this stuff, another great resource is my book, Spiritual Authority. I cover a lot of this kind of stuff in there that can be helpful as well. So.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Rob, for joining us today and sharing your experience and what you've learned, your wisdom on the subject of freedom.
Glad to do it, David. Good to be with you.
So you're invited once again to be part of the Soul Care Conference with Dr. Rob Reamer, who is coming to Yorkton, the Yorkton Alliance Church, May 18th, 19th, and 20th, the Soul Care Conference. Registration is open at eventbrite.ca. Just look up Soul Care Conference with Dr. Rob Reamer, or even just simply Soul Care Conference Yorkton. That should bring it up as well. That is our program for today. It's all you ever wanted to know. And on the last Friday of the month, Heart to Heart with David Distie. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.